This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 5 a.m. here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run over Venice, Louisiana way and check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat, see what's up. Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
Well, not but the wind, bro.
That's it. March winds, April showers, spring May flowers.
Yeah, no kid.
Remember you heard that all the time when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That weather get you last night?
No, I got a warning on my phone saying that if you know anybody out on the lake up around Conroe and Livingston up that way, you might want to tell them to come in. I looked at radar, and there was some stuff way up in North Texas, but I said, where's it at? It didn't show up on my radar, but then I could hear static in my AM radio, so y'all got hit, huh?
No, we didn't. It stayed just above us.
But I
man, it was doing some stuff there. So I don't know. I'm the same way. I had warnings, but what was funny? It named everything but Madison County.
Huh?
Then I went. I don't know how they left that out, but it had to go right through there too. But. No, man, it's just ain't a whole lot going on with this weather.
No, there's not.
You know, you can get one day, and then next day here it is blowing again.
Right.
So, it's like yesterday, it blowed pretty good here.
Yeah, it was a little breezy. Going to be that way again today, they claim. So.
Really?
Yeah. That's why we have wade fishing.
Huh?
That's why there's such a thing as wade fishing.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, I see they've been catching them down here at Baffin.
Boy, they're rolling up some toads, buddy.
They are. Man, I've seen one.
It's amazing how, you know, they just don't have the environmental fallout like we do up this upper coast. And, boy, they're able to bounce back so big time. You know,
we
don't have the habitat loss, and you know, it's just everything, they're just in better shape.
Right. The, you know, and that's kind of like Venice. You know, we don't have, you know, since they cleaned that river up, you know, you know, last year our ecosystem was as vibrant as I had ever seen it. It was just fun to run around and run through it. Everything was fully leafed, and you know, and then to all the salt water coming there and put a mashing on everything. But hopefully everything turns back around this year too. So. You know, our Rosocane, you know, they had that bug in that Rosocane. I don't know. I'm sure that cold weather probably helped that situation. But, you know, our Rosocane was beautiful last year. You know, and years before that, you know, it was looking a little rough. So.
Yeah, I remember hearing people talk about that. You know, there's. It's like a bug that's like a parasite to that Rosocane. It kills it back like that.
Yeah, it kills them leaves back on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they they spent millions of dollars trying to figure it out. That's when they first got Fort Eads back together or rebuilt. It wasn't back together. They just built a whole new deal down there. And, you know, they sent some group down there for 6 months, spent millions upon millions of dollars researching it. You know, the state made all that money off of them staying in the facility. And, you know, and finally, the best thing they come up with, they said, burn it. And because it will bounce back very fast from burning.
Yeah.
There are some fields, you know, that's on land up there around Fort Sulphur. And that them fields have got it in. And they'll right. mow it, and it's just like Johnson grass. It just jumps right back.
It keeps coming back. Can't get rid of it.
Can't get rid of it. So.
Kind
of
like bamboo.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
I remember a guy telling me, he said, that's the biggest mistake I ever made, let my wife plant that bamboo. Now we're overrun with it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that stuff will get after it. You know, it's like that cane, that switch cane that we have in the river bottle.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to come back a little bit, which I'm glad of because it gives more cover for them deer. Because that country, like where me and Textile hunt back in there, that them big trees have got so big that the shade off of them won't let nothing grow.
Nothing will grow too much.
No,
of a,
there's some of them places back there that you can see 500, 600, 700 yards down through the woods.
Yeah.
And that's not good for them deer because they ain't got no place raising babies.
They don't have any place to bed down or anything.
No. And so, you know, 20 years ago, that cane was so thick in there, you had to.
I remember old timers, man, they'd call them water moccasins. You could hear them coming through that cane. Sound like a deer walking through it. It was so loud. So there's one of them cane break moccasins.
Yes, exactly right.
Cane break.
And then, you know, back years ago, too, we had a lot of it where that wasn't bamboo. It's still just a cane, but it growed them cane poles.
Right.
And then I ran into a spot this year squirrel hunting that there was probably 25, 30 of them. They make a show enough good cane poles.
Yeah, them old-timers, that's what they like for a cane pole. They'd find that right cane, they'd just cut their own poles.
You bet. We cut them, many of them. We'd cut them and take them back to camp, put them on top of the camp house, and just forget about them, you know, until they dry it out good.
Dry them out, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. I guess you can still buy a cane pole, probably in them old put-togethers.
Yeah.
That man Walmart carries them. Academy, too.
I'm sure they do.
A lot of the bait
shops, you know, that sell minnows and stuff like that have them.
Yeah, but find one like I'm talking about, one of them that's about 16 foot long.
Yeah. But, you know, after they dry out, they're light. They're durable.
Oh, absolutely. You bet.
Those put-togethers are heavy.
Not caught.
Grandma wouldn't like holding one of them all day, daubing
me. No. But I caught. We used to. Especially on Lake Houston. We used to fish with them poles like that. And there was an old timer lived there on that lake, up there on that east fork of that St. Center River. He'd take a cane pole in front of an aluminum boat, paddle in one hand and cane pole in his other hand.
Yeah.
And have about 3 foot of line.
Yeah.
About 3 foot of line and have a jitterbug on it. He'd just go paddling and dragging that jitterbug down them clay banks. You wouldn't believe the bass he'd catch.
That's my grandpa, man. He could row a boat from the front. He'd get up there in the front with one paddle, and boy, it was like running a trolling motor bass fishing like that. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Those were the days.
This generation don't know nothing about that.
No. Heck no.
So,
only the kayakers know. You know, they row. I know how.
Yeah, that rope. They don't scull like that though.
Well, no, they ain't no scull paddle stuff. But heck, a lot of them's got trolling motors.
Oh yeah. Oh, they had some stuff at the fishing show that was just stupid. They got one that had an outboard on it. Yeah, like a 5-horsepower.
Right.
Yep. So, but that kayak fishing's a big deal now.
Yeah, it is. Big time.
You know, them guys is going way offshore, so I'm not crazy about that.
No, there's creatures swimming in the water bigger than your rig is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not comfortable with that. Well, look at that one guy that they said it was a kayak, but it looked like some kind of raft, you know, with the rubber stuff around it. When that whale right. swallowed him and spit him out,
yeah,
on video. That even made Fox News.
Yeah, that was crazy. So, you don't tell what you see on the news nowadays. My God, I don't even watch it. I try not to.
So, it's hard not to, though. A lot of good stuff going on right now.
You think?
I got a text from a listener said, is Mike ever bothered by large gators in the marsh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The problem of it is, with them gators, and it's anywhere you do go, there's some idiot that's got to feed them. And once that gator gets used to you feeding him out of that boat, he's going to come see you every time.
Well, yeah.
I've got a spot down there in the fall when that river cleans up. It's called Cubic's Gap. And that's Main Pass, Octave Pass, and Raphael Pass. That's right. Where they all come out of the river. And Raphael Pass, especially, right in the mouth of it, them trout like to pile up right in the mouth of it. I pulled up there, it's been 3-4 years ago now, and a man and woman on the boat. And I'd put the trolling motor down, and she said, oh, look, there comes a big gator. He comes straight to my boat. And we was catching a few fish, and I mean, you had to reel a fish in as fast as you could. Keep him from getting your fish. And I was sitting there on spot lock. And finally, he just come up there and he just laying right beside the boat. He's about 9-footer, 8-9-footer. I took that dip net, turned it up the other way, and popped him upside his
popped
head.
Him
boy,
in
he
head,
got
yeah.
Yeah. He got mad, went under, he come back up. And when he come back up, he's right behind the boat, and he bit my dadgum swim platform. Oh, man, you know, I said, I don't know why people's got to do that. I mean, I understand it. You know, we've got kids on the boat or something like that. But all you got to do is take that cork, throw that cork out there to him, and go to popping that cork, and he'll come right to the boat. But don't feed him.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember one year I had a trout run going in the fall in Oyster Bayou. Over in the back east bay, and I was anchoring up right next to the bank, and we were throwing down this drop off, and it just it was absolutely stupid, you know, like what you do over there, except I was in the bayou, and we were fishing and taking all these fish off, throwing them back. We'd already limited out, and this coon came out of the brush right there on the edge of the bank, and then he jumped in my boat. Then I had to touch the net and knock him out of the boat, and he swam back up on the bank, and he kept getting in the boat. He's wanting a fish. Yep. So I caught a little old sand trout or something. I threw it up on the bank for him, and he grabbed it and walked off in the brush, never saw him again. The next day I went back, same school, same spot. There was a whole family of them there waiting on me when I got there. And I had to move. They were. I couldn't keep them out of the boat.
Yep.
I said, man, one of my customers get bit by a coon with rabies. That'd be,
Oh, a coon, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, them coons or something.
Don't feed the wildlife unless it's deer. Yep. Give them some corn. Bring them on out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't feed the bears. All right, Mike, I got to run, buddy. Somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing Venice. How do they get a hold of you, man?
832-338-9376. catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
All right, buddy. Mike, have a good day. Enjoy this weather.
You too. Later.
All right, man. Later. All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse. Croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand there at the store. They have them on display, all the regulators, diffusers, different size bottles. You can have them refilled there. For more info on the oxygen response, call Jason at 281-701-8107. And while you're there, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's, and crawfish season's in full swing. Check their website or Facebook for availability in their Cajun Grill next door and their Santa Fe location. Put out some really good crawfish. Their recipe's excellent. So give them a call at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Tiki Island. Let's check in with Captain James Plogg this morning. Morning, James. How you doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Burn up, burn down, and burn out.
Burn out. That's, I know the feeling.
Oh, man. It's springtime, buddy. Spring breakers.
You been down there partying on the beach?
No, dude. Actually, it's like a ghost town. It was till yesterday.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I told Kenny, we were driving home. I said, hey, man, Google, see if Houston's out of school. I mean, I know the colleges are out. Because after that debacle I got in that Friday, I told you.
Yeah.
People and killing, shootings and all that. I mean, Galveston emptied out. I said, man, there ain't nobody coming here, dude. I'm telling you. And sure enough, Houston is out. But it got
yeah, all out. My way's out. You know, my grandson's on spring break.
Yeah, it got busy yesterday. I mean, not really boats or nothing, but you know, some just canal people running their boats and stuff. Nobody fishing. A lot of people on the beach, but there ain't been nobody.
Right.
Nobody through yesterday. I don't know, but it's been pretty good. I'm surprised.
Right.
We went Monday. We didn't go about 9 o'clock Monday. I told Christian and I said, dude, it's cold. There ain't no water. We ain't gonna catch nothing and I ain't going early. So we went about 9 o'clock and man, we hit some stuff. I caught some fish in that tournament. I said, man, I caught some fish over here, let's go check it out. And there's no water, there's no mullet, there's no nothing. I made three big old waves. I said, the only problem is I've been here about 30 minutes and I stayed about 25 minutes too long. So we loaded up.
I know that drill.
And I did something. I did it last year and the tide got like that. It's a place you can't even think about wading it except for, you know, how the water was Monday.
Yeah.
And, man, they was there and they was good ones too. I mean, fours and threes. Really hard to catch them, man. And you walk in the middle of them, they start slicking while you're just walking in the middle of them.
Spook slicks.
Yeah, really hard to get them to bite. We ended up catching 10 of them. And we caught them a little bit on everything. Caught on lilies, hot rods, tails.
Right.
I mean, there wasn't no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
No, but, man, dude, the southwest wind got me, man. It was dead calm, and, you know, the tide for sure is 3.5 foot low. I mean, this place I was fishing, you didn't dream of getting out of there, you know, when the tide went like that. But the wind just ate us up, man. We stayed till like 5 o'clock. We had to leave there. We stayed about 5 o'clock. It was terrible. That's the only place we caught anything. And, I came in, it's blowing like 20 out of southwest. You know, I guess that low pressure moved and we got the backside of it. So everything else sucked. And then Tuesday, I went somewhere else, long ways. I moved the long ways. Man, let's try this. And, man, we get out of the boat. And I went kind of early. I don't really know what time to go, you know, all that time, James. I just went. Well, it's like early. You see, I mean, you know, it's breaking day, but it's not like it's, I mean, you can see a lot. And, buddy, they are snapping. We are crushing them on everything. And not pretty nice fish, up to 3 pounds. And they bit till about 8:30. And we caught 21. You catch them on everything. Man, they get off top waters, put a hot rod on. Get off of that, put a tail on there. Get off of that, put a floating hot rod on. You mean, you could just play with them because they wasn't going nowhere. About 8:30, they just faded.
Yeah.
We left them and tried to catch a redfish. In all these places I'm fishing, you can't fish them normal. You know, with normal water, you can't get out on them. Well, maybe one spot, but this just would be too high. So we go in there to catch redfish, and Kenny went with me and my guys. And, hell, he catches one almost 4 pounds in there fishing for redfish. We caught like 5 there. I went check something else. It was terrible. And then went check something else. Going to try to catch a redfish. And now I think we caught 8 trout in there. And I wouldn't have gave you a plug nickel for catching nothing. Hey, there's no water. It's muddy. And I'm like, man, this is like practice. I don't even know why I'm getting out of the boat. I could care less about catching a redfish. And we hop out and go through there. And it got pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, man, lots of bites and these little bitty old bites. You swear they're pencils. They're like babies. Like, it's the same garbage I've been catching. Then you actually hook him. He jumps out there. Man, that's about 18, 19-inch trout.
Little tail nipping going on.
Yeah, they just ain't, you know, wasn't biting real good.
Chicken pecking.
So I go back to the same thing yesterday. And, buddy, I promise you, we catch 80, 85 trout, maybe 90. It's as fast as you can catch them any kind of way. And they're all babies. We caught between 85 and 90 trout, and we had 15 legal. And we had 15 legal trout on the same stuff I'm fishing, catching decent fish. So I moved. Didn't go very far, man. They were right over here the other day, Friday. We smoked them right here Friday. Let's go check this. And they was there. They looked like the same one that swam from where I just left.
They followed you.
Man, Mickey, there's so many, you know, I know them better fish ain't left where I'm fishing right there. There's no reason.
No, it's just them little ones moved in. They take over. They're more aggressive.
You couldn't get a lure back. Finally, I said, I'm going to do something, try not catch something. Maybe I'll catch something good. But anyway, I got there. I said, man, these fish are biting in the dark. You know, I'm looking at that moon where it's fit to set. So we leave like in the middle of the night yesterday. And I think we put the hook out at, I think it was 6:03. And so we get out, and there's a little more wind than I wanted, but it wasn't terrible. And, man, I had one bite in the dark. One of them followed me up. And I think the first fish we caught was like 6:57.
As soon as the sun come up, here we go.
Yeah, they didn't want. It was just, you know, I don't know what time is sunrise, like 7:30 or something?
Let's see. Know. Yeah, sunrise is 7:26.
Okay.
Oh, no, 7:31. I'm sorry. That was sunset I gave you.
Okay.
Well, 7:31.
Oh, man, but, yeah, you can see it was breaking, and the moon had just set. It was really pretty. And I started out with regular fish. Like, first one I caught on top water, about 18, 19 inches. And then they started slicking. I told one of my guys, I said, look, man, dude, just stand right there. Throw to the right. The current's going the other way. Don't throw at me. Throw out there. And he was using the top water. I don't know how many bites he had. I'm sitting here watching. He ain't catching nothing. And I said, hey, man, take that thing off. Put something else on. Put a Lily or something on. You ain't doing too good with that top water. I watched him get like 5 or 6 bites. And then they just turned small, man. just turn small. Right. Good fishing. I mean, if you like getting bites, it's plenty good. But
I remember years ago, there was a fishing tournament. You could start fishing at midnight. And my brother and I entered it together. We thought, you know, hey, we're going to, you know, I said, there's some big fish here. We're going to go tear them up under this full moon. We got over there, and as soon as midnight hit, we slid out of the boat and started waiting under that full moon. It was like daylight out there. Mullet everywhere, slicks by the millions. We fished. I mean, I think the first wade I made was a four-hour wade. Went back to the boat and just, I made me a cup of coffee and sitting there going, I cannot believe we can't even get a bite on nothing. We tried everything. And we get back out, and as soon as that sun came up and broke the horizon, it was like bombs going off in there. Those fish lit off, and we caught them like nobody's business till 8 o'clock in the morning.
And then they fade. You know, me,
then they
the
just
same thing.
Quit. Just, I mean, remember, it's like you turned a switch off.
Just done. Like when we fished a refuge, we had big ones over there. Man, when that sun hit.
That's where we were at.
Okay. They'd go to snapping. And then if you think about it, it'd get completely dark, and they'd fade for just about 30 minutes. And then they'd fire up again for about 35, 40 minutes. And it was like 8:30 or 9. Then That was it. And they were done.
That's the same way it was on the North Ridge back in the day, too.
Same. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's night men, and they get them at nighttime and all that stuff. We fished one of your tournaments fishing in Sabine, one of the classics or whatever you can
fish. Yeah, the classics. You could fish at night if you wanted to.
Hey, that was so stupid.
It was a 48-hour marathon.
Dude, I should have just shot myself. So we finally catch a fish. You know, we're waiting down there by the end of Pleasure Island.
Right.
And I don't know if I caught it. I think Rod caught it. We ain't caught nothing, man. It's terrible. Old Jay West was there, and he done hooked in some trees and stuff. I can hear him over there. And
old Jay Walker. Remember that big old giant topwater he came out with?
Jay Walker. I don't even think he had a boat. He would just walk in place.
I had to have a surf rod to throw it.
It was terrible. So we're sitting out there at night, all night, and it's pretty. And I'm sure we probably wasn't where much was, but we were where some good ones was, and Rod catches that fish, and I'm helping him, and I dropped that flashlight in the water.
Oh, boy.
And I'm looking at it, and I said, man, there goes our flashlight. So we go back to the boat. It's terrible. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. This is no GPS or nothing. I'm just running compass and time. Rod said, man, take me in. Let's go. Okay, so I'm hailing out of there. This is like 4 hours later, and I rode by that flashlight. It was still shining underneath
still
the water.
Still shining under the water.
Yeah, it was one of them little mini-light kind of things. I said, man, look at that light, Rod. It's still shining. Yeah, Rod, yeah, that's good, man. Let's go. Get me out of here. Oh, it was foggy. It was dark. I don't know how I ever got back to Pleasure Island. That was the – and I run into Jim Franklin. And he had the first GPS map that I'd ever seen. And we're over there looking at it. Because he come in hot. I mean, I'm picking my way through there, dude, trying to not kill anybody. Finally get in there, here comes the boat, and they're running. Whipping there in his Franklin, and I forgot who he was fishing with. I said, dude, you ain't that good. And he showed me there was a LMS, whatever that Lowrance thing was. Rod sitting there looking at it, said, hey, man.
Right.
Get back. You get us one of them. Get two of them in case one of them goes out. I get one. But anyway, the point of the story, all that night stuff, I thought we would at least get, there's so many there, I thought we'd get some bites. They had one little old touch. And then they started slicking. Same thing. Then they start slicking. So I don't know what time they're biting. I mean, I guess they bite men. It's just not very long for them to bite.
Yeah.
But that's springtime March fishing, dude. You know how it is.
Yeah, wait till April.
Hey, these 2 months right here.
Maybe we'll have a normal April where the fish bite all month instead of that. Boy, we've seen some lean times in the month of April, buddy.
It can be lean and it can be mean, but it can be good. I mean, you're going to have your days, but I told my old neighbor yesterday, I mean, I'm dying. I'm walking out there taking the trash out and he's looking at me. How's fishing? Man, Bob, it's good. It's okay. And he said something. I said, let me tell you something, man. These next 2 months, this month and next month, you will be more tired and broke down than you will the other 10 months of the year.
That's right.
These 2 months right here. It's hard. It's not easy. I told him, I said, I said, well, we know we catch like one. I said, I feel for you guys that don't go every day. Hell, it's hard for me, and I go every day.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Hey, and all that down south stuff, the guys I had fish, they fished 3 days down there, and they did catch a good one. They did. I think somebody caught one almost 27 inches. He, one of the guys, caught three keeper trout in 2 days. And I'm sorry, 3 days. They fished 3 days.
Yeah.
Pencils. So
it's the same down there as it is here, except, you know, they do have bigger fish, but you just...
Oh, no, there's no question.
I mean, you're they're just in a few areas. It's not like they're everywhere. Same
right,
as here.
You know, and I'm talking to people, and it's... They're, hey, you know what's there. You're fishing on the King Ranch. But fishing in general, just like just catching, it's not great. But any cast down there, you can throw it one. Well, you saw it. You can throw it one that's 11 pounds. Any cast, he's there.
Right.
No doubt. But the fishing in general, I don't think, is just all that great. You know, flies, you just want to go out there and catch stuff. I think, it's, you know, you need to be down there trying to catch a big trout. So,
well, I'm just living in the wrong place right now.
Everybody has his day, Mickey. You know that. We used to travel and go chasing, but I ain't chasing down here no more. It's too many people for me.
No, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'll wait on them. I've had enough, Woodrow.
Oh, Woodrow. It's been a hell of a run, Woodrow.
It has, buddy. Hell
but
of a
you
party.
Know, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, when you saw what Larry did, you can pop one in. Are you going to pop one 11 pounds? No, probably not. But, you know, if you're fishing the right spots, and I do, I'm fishing where he should be, that don't mean you're going to get him. But at least, you know, you start catching threes and fours, there's some fives and sixes around. You know that.
Exactly. All right, buddy. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to call you. Go out and get all wore out and grind it out. How they get a hold of you, man? You'll wear them down.
Come on, I'm warm. Hey, my guy got. He sat down. It's like 1 o'clock, and I'm still kind of. Man, I'm center focused. He just sat down and went. Man, I'm tired. I said, tired. We just getting started, man. I started laughing. I said, hell no, let's go home, man. All right, buddy. 409-771-7306.
All right, James. Hey, have a good day, buddy. Good talking to you.
Hey, you
man.
Are going to watch the players now. I know you're going to watch the players.
You think? I've been watching all of them.
All right, good deal. But we'll talk about that. I'll call you. You
got to watch the players, man. That's like a major to me. I love that term.
Hey, what's fun is just listening to Brandon and old Dingbat, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go.
Oh, that's the same every year, ain't it?
It is. Nothing changes. Few names.
All right, buddy.
That's about
well,
it.
I'll holler at you.
All right, brother. Later. All right. Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything. From five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 540 here in the Bayou City. Let's run to G-Town now and check in with Captain Sharky Marquez this morning. Good morning, Michael. How in the world are you?
Buddy. Good morning, my friend. How's it going, Mickey?
Oh, it couldn't be better. It's all good, my friend.
Good, man, good. Well, golly, it feels like spring break. What a fish slaying massacre yesterday.
I seen it all the video online, man. That was a smoke show.
Smoke show, buddy. It was nonstop action. We had a just wonderful day at the jetties, man. It was a blast. It was sweet, man. You just had to cast in there, and fish were following up each other to the boat, man. Just cast up real tight to the rocks and using a little knocker rig, half-ounce knocker rig. And, buddy, you could catch just as many fish as you wanted yesterday afternoon. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal, man. It was great. Water looked great out there, Mickey. I mean, you know, for this wind, and it was pretty windy yesterday, and for this wind that we've been having, man, that water just looked, it just held pretty nicely in there. You had some murky stuff, but it was, you know, greenish mix, that little mix, and green enough for those fish to be there. So, anyway, I'm over here at Bayou Bait right now, grabbing me some live shrimpies and getting ready to rock for the day.
Well,
should be a good one out there.
I see they had like a benefit and raffle and all that for Galveston Bait and Tackle. So hopefully they did get on that and get that place up and running again.
Boy, I hope so, man. I know a lot of people.
A lot of people depend on that place, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Plus, they're good folks, you know. I mean, they're part of the community, you know. I mean, without people like that, our jobs become really, really difficult, especially with as much, you know, live bait as we use. So
I'm telling you,
we appreciate our bait shops here locally. That's a fact. And they're always treating us right. So, man, we have a good time, brother. It's a huge, huge part of what we do.
What's the main draw right now? What species is multi-plentiful?
Well, I'll tell you this. Yesterday, I had four people in the afternoon, and I'm not even kidding you. I think our smallest sheephead was like 4 or 5 pounds. I mean, these things, out of 20 fish, 20 sheephead that we brought back, I just some of the biggest ones I've ever seen, Mickey, just freaking giants,
man.
Which was cool, and you know, we caught a bunch of great bonus fish too, man. Shane brought back I think 4 or 5 redfish, and we had a couple redfish, and you know, in the mix of the drum and all, but shooting. And yesterday, we caught a shark and on light tackle. And I saw the ridge line down its back, and I'm thinking, well, that's a sandbar shark. And sure as heck, that fish laid over in the water up on its belly. I looked down and it had no teeth on it. I said, what in the world? A dog tooth, smooth tooth, smooth dog fish or something.
Yeah.
Well, I never seen that in my life. I thought it was a daggum nurse shark. That's how silly I was, all right? I was looking at this thing trying to figure out what it was. I said, what in the world is that?
But it is a shark species, right?
No, you're good, love. Oh, thank you. I'll take that door. What's up, Mickey?
It is a shark species, though, right?
It's a shark species, man. I was telling my customer, I said, man, we can't pull that thing out of the water. If it's a sandbar shark, you know, which is endangered, we can't even touch those things. And sure as heck, I got to looking at it. I said, that thing ain't got no teeth on it, man. So I hit on the radio a good buddy of mine, Shane Cantrell, who does a lot with conservationists and a lot of shark trips out there with the researchers. So, and I called him, and I like, look, man, I've been fishing a long time out here. I ain't never seen no shark with no teeth caught in Galveston, okay? And sure as heck, you say, yeah, man, that's a smooth dogfish shark. And
yeah, I'm showing it here on my list. I have a smooth dogfish, 26.5 pounds and 50.88 inches long.
That's a record?
Yeah.
Well, son of a gun, because that thing yesterday was about 3.5 foot, 4 foot long. I mean, he was a good one.
Right.
I don't know if he would have got 20 pounds, but no, he was a good fish.
That record came, a guy named George Flores caught it March 2nd, 1998.
Wow.
Smooth dogfish. You got a Cuban dogfish, which is 4.5 pounds. A smooth dogfish, 26.5, and then a spiny dogfish, 21 pounds.
Well, I ain't ever seen nothing like it. And apparently, you know, I called my buddy, and he made it sound like, you know, they're catching them all the time or something. You know, he just didn't surprised about it. And I was like, man, you know how many, you know, I'm into the thousands at this point on sharks that we've caught.
Yeah.
And I ain't ever seen no shark like this in my life.
Right.
So I don't know, man. It was
so it sounded like they're long and skinny.
Yeah, long and that's right. Long and skinny. That's right. But you
well,
know,
well, I've never caught one, never seen one, so that's news to me.
Yeah, I probably sounded like a goofball telling them that I caught a nurse shark, you know, I don't know. But I think in all our years we did catch one nurse shark at the jetty, so you just never know, man, when you're out there fishing the rocks. That's why I love it.
Y'all had any trout activity? Anybody caught any trout out there?
The water is getting there. Yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if folks were popping cork fishing out in North Jetty and catching them. I didn't hear of anybody doing it, but the water was right for it.
Yeah,
it
it's getting, doable. You know, yeah, no doubt.
It was doable. Uh-huh. You know, inside the channel before this last front, this big doozy that came through, water looked really good, and this was when we had normal tides. You know, the tides are still so low. But we had some normal tides before that last little cold front push, and, man, I was coming back in, and I hit JJ up, and I said, man, the water's emerald green in the channel. You ought to try popping corks. He texted me back. He said, I'm already fishing with them, and then next thing you know, he started sending me pictures of trout. So, you know, they're here, they're ready to push through, man. We just need a little bit of consistent weather. And we're gonna be there. The water temperature's right. I mean, springtime fishing, baby.
Yep. Well,
springtime fishing.
I guess y'all are staying pretty busy and booked up with the breakers.
Yeah, thank God, man. We have been, which is phenomenal. All the boats are doubled up today, so we got a whole crew and slew of people going out, and gosh, I'm pulling into the parking lot. Looks like there's a bunch of customers already here ready to rock and roll. So,
cool.
Man, it's going to be a fun day on the water.
Real quick, have you been able to get offshore since you caught that swordfish?
No, I haven't, but I have 3 or 4 offshore trips this month. And it's, you know, it's tricky. It's tricky in March because there's just not a lot going. There's not a lot of species you can keep, you know.
Right.
Plus so
the
we'll
wind,
see what that
you know,
looks like.
That's
yeah, lots
all the
of
variables.
Wind. So we'll see, Mickey. I mean, I'm excited to get back out there and do my thing. But at the same time, you know, when you're booking an offshore trip in March, you just never know
that's
if it's
true.
Gonna run or not.
I'm with you.
You know, so
I know it. It's
I don't know,
it's not like Florida.
That's right. We can't go 10 miles and start whacking them, you know.
That's right.
Not this time of year. So anyway, where's the yellow bucket? Yep.
Well, I know they're tearing them sheephead up down south too, you know, down at South Padre and Corpus, and they're nuking them.
Well, these are the biggest ones I have ever seen. I mean, these sheephead from yesterday are so big. Usually, we catch one of them that look like, you know, that, and we're like, dang, that's a hog. But I'm telling you, it was one after another, and they were, you know, 20-inch plus. Every sheephead was like 20-inch plus. I'm not even.
Man,
it was
that's
crazy.
Awesome. What's the limit
cool,
on those?
Man.
5?
Yeah, 5 apiece.
Yep.
5 apiece, so super fun, man. I mean, great fighting fish. You know, you don't get a ton of fish historically. You don't get a ton of fillet off that fish. So, you know, if you get a big one, that's great. You know, that's the ones you want to track down if you can get them. But
now,
yeah,
state
man,
record
was,
on that fish is 15.25. 26 and a half inches long. That is a, boy, you talk about a slab. What a fish.
That's a slab. That's a slab. We've had them, I think last year our biggest was like 11.4, and that
fish
looked like a daggum big old black drum, I mean.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, I know it.
That's a big one.
It's a monster, buddy.
All right, man. Well, hey, I know you're busy. Y'all got to get to your sports and everything. If somebody wants get with you and come down and lodge up and go fishing, do the whole deal, how they get a hold of you, Sharky?
Come on with it, man. Hop on our website. It's Outcast Fishing with no G, charters.com. If that's too difficult, just Google Outcast Charters in Galveston. We'll pop right up. And, man, hop on our website. Check us out. We'd love to have you guys. Still got a few openings in spring break. Man, let's go make some memories. The fishing is great. And, man, we're catching them up. So come on with it, man. We're waiting on you guys.
I know it is. And y'all look. Get them on a boat and get them out there and put them on some fish, man. Nothing like it.
We'll do our daggum best. I promise you that. We'll try our hardest.
All right, Michael. Well, hey, y'all have a great day. Be safe. Catch them up. I'll talk to you Saturday. Be safe, man.
Thanks, brother. God bless. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Sharky. See you, man.
See you, man.
All right. That's Sharky Marquez down in G-Town. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610. KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.